Take your copy of God's Word and turn to Philippians, the fourth chapter. Philippians chapter 4, the order Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. If you go too far, you'll find Colossians. Turn a page back to Philippians chapter 4. I want to speak to you this morning on this topic, how to live a life of thanksgiving. How to live a life of gratitude. You know, we live in a day like never before. The fact that we can just flick a switch and we have the lights on in our house. We have running water. We have this clever invention called smartphones. We have the internet. We have at our fingertips the ability to video call with someone halfway across the world. Now, despite all of these inventions and these modern conveniences, they were intended to make us happier, but I could honestly say that we are more unhappy than ever. That which we say, we can barely live without, we are barely living with. I mean, is this how we are to live? Is this truly the joy that we are to experience? What is the secret to a life of gratitude? How can you and I live a life of gratitude? I'm glad you asked that question. We're going to look together at Philippians chapter 4. If you could take your Bibles and look at verse 4. We'll just look at one verse. This could be your Bible memory verse for the week. I picked an easy one for you. It says simply this, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let's pray this morning. God, we thank you for this short little verse that teaches us so much. And I do pray, oh God, that you would help us to live a life of gratitude and thanksgiving because, oh God, we have so much to truly be grateful for. We ask that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would come and visit us this morning, that you might teach us from your word. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing I want us to see this morning, out of four things, is that our gratefulness is a choice. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Paul says this. He says, rejoice in the Lord. Now, this is not a suggestion. This is not just merely good advice, but this is a command. Now, isn't it amazing to consider this, that such a positive command is such a hard command to practice? I mean, wouldn't we think that such a positive command would reap such positive practice in our life? So often this is not the case. So often instead of being humbly grateful, we can be gratefully or grumbly hateful. Instead of being thankful, we can often complain. We complain about the weather. Saskatchewan, I mean, when it's too hot, we complain that it's not, or that it is too hot. When it's too cold, we complain it's too cold. We can never truly seem to be satisfied. In a church, we complain about the music. Sometimes the songs are too fast. Sometimes they're too slow. Sometimes they're too loud. Sometimes they're too quiet. Sometimes Dave Braun moves a little too much. We can complain. I've heard churches split over carpet color, and you think, oh, how could that happen? Well, let me tell you this. What if we decided to change the carpet to yellow? I assume we would have some upset people. I heard of a man who was marooned on a desert island, and he was there for 5 years until he was finally rescued. And the rescuer came to the man, and when he came to get him, he noticed that there were three grass huts. And the rescuer said to the man, he says, sir, I thought you were alone on this island. And he said, yes, that's true, I am. He says, well, how come there's three huts? He says, well, the first hut is my home. And the second hut is my church. He says, well, what's the third hut for? He says, that's the church I used to go to. Now, that's kind of funny to me, and maybe have a weird sense of humor, but many of us complain more than we dare to admit. Complaining is deceptive. Somebody has said this, complaining is like bad breath. You notice it when it comes out of somebody else's mouth, but not your own. It's so easy to spot complaining. We could preach on complaining, and you could say, preacher, preach it to those who are complaining. They need it. Really, we're just complaining. We have this false idea that to complain perhaps helps us get it off our chest so we feel better. On Thursdays, if you tune into 980 CJME, you will have Bugs Day, the hour of rage, where everybody is able to complain. But I want you to understand this morning, that complaining is not God's pathway to gratitude. Listen carefully. Gratitude is God's pathway to gratitude. Gratitude is God's pathway to gratitude. It is a choice to rejoice. And we ought to rejoice. Now, the reason we find it so hard to rejoice is that when you come to Christ, you now no longer have one nature, your sinful nature, but you have a second nature. I want you to understand this because it's helpful for us, and so this may get a little deep for some, but when you become a child of God, you have a new nature. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But listen to what Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. You see, if we were honest about ourselves, sometimes we don't want to be thankful. It's easier just to wallow in self-pity, to complain, to grumble. But this is a great sin against Almighty God, and the reason we do it is because of our flesh nature. And so how can we choose then to do what is right instead of what is wrong? You need to understand this about your sin nature, is that when Christ Jesus died on the cross, you died with him. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. If you don't want to grumble, if you don't want to complain, you have to understand this principle. You have died. Paul says this in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the body, or the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. To choose gratefulness, we must die to self. That involves repentance. It's to say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. I die, and I trust you. You see, not only must we die to self to choose to rejoice, we must also depend on the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 again. So I say then, walk by the Spirit. In simple terms, you simply just need to say, Lord Jesus, I need you. Confession is good for the soul. Christ will purify you and cleanse you and give you the ability to choose to rejoice. There is no command, listen to this, there is no command given to you by God that he has not given you the capacity to obey. There is no command that God has given you that he has not then given you the capacity to obey. So next time you find yourself grumbling or complaining or not wanting to be thankful, you need to say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. I will choose to rejoice. And he will give you the strength to do it. Now, not only is our gratitude a choice, look again in verse 4. Our gratitude or gratefulness is in Christ. This is what Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. Now, some people have this false idea that when we are commanded to rejoice, we must rejoice about everything and anything. But no, more clearly, we ought to understand that we have much to be grateful for because of the Lord. He is so, so good. Without the Lord, we would have no reason to rejoice. There would be no color in the rainbows. There would be no smell in the roses. I can't imagine not knowing the Lord. And this is where psychology and psychiatry fall so short. If you go to any psychiatrist to seek help, and they do not point you to Jesus, you need to find someone else. Because God desires to use these problems in our life to seek him, and we will find in him a God who is present. And oh, we can be grateful for these things. To rejoice in the Lord is to elevate our thoughts to that which is above. We are commanded to think not of the things of this earth, but the things that which are above. So what are some things we could be grateful for in the Lord? Well, first, we can be grateful for his presence. We can be thankful for his presence. Consider this. The hand that holds the universe is the hand that holds yours. He is with you. Jesus said, I will never, ever leave you nor forsake you. And David said this, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. It is remarkable to consider that Jesus is present with us in our day to day. He does not leave you. He is always by your side. Just the other day, one of our children were afraid at night and they climbed into bed, and wouldn't you believe it, within seconds they fall asleep. They were having so much trouble to fall asleep because of a fear, and yet by just climbing into bed with a parent, they instantly can fall asleep. Why? There is a great comfort in the presence of God, and we have so much to be grateful for that he is present with us. Now, not only can we be grateful for his presence, but we can also be grateful for his provisions. We are so blessed. Can I get an amen for that? I mean, we truly are. We don't have to wonder where our food is going to come from. We don't have to wonder if our heat will stay on. Now, God may not always provide for your every want, but he will supply your every need. Jesus says, or Paul says this in Philippians chapter 2. Verse 19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches through Christ Jesus. We sing a song, great is thy faithfulness. O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Number of years back, almost 10 now, I was looking to get engaged to my lovely wife. And I saved all my pennies. and all my dollars. I was working here at the church. You have to understand this is that I was being paid monthly, not every couple weeks, because I was an intern at the time. And I remember the moment came where I had to get this ring or the engagement would not be happening for many months later because of a busy ministry year, and I was short. And I remember making this a matter of prayer to the Lord. You may say, well, is marriage really a need? Well, it was to me. And anyone who knows me knows full well how much I needed my wife, and the Lord knows that. But I was short. And the days came when I had to either buy the ring or it would not be happening. And I remember going to my office, and I wasn't supposed to be paid for another 2 weeks, but for some reason there was a check from the church for my salary in my mailbox. I remember going to Pastor Corey, and I said, why did I receive this money? I am not supposed to be paid for another 2 weeks. And he said, well, since we as a board have decided that we were going to hire you on full time, we have decided to pay you every 2 weeks. And so I had enough to buy the ring. Now, there is not a need in your life that God cannot sufficiently meet. He has an endless amount of resources. And he knows your every need. Not only God's presence, not only his provision, but also his protection. Nothing can get to you that is not filtered through God's mighty hand of love. He is watching out for you. I know that Byron and Angela can attest to this. Angela Fraser could have died a couple weeks ago as her vehicle went into oncoming traffic and was hit by a vehicle. And yet we don't even understand the great scope of God's protection for us, the seen and the unseen. I love this verse in Psalm 23, verse 4. It says this, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Can you imagine sitting at a table enjoying a feast with enemies surrounding you? And there you are eating in peace. Why? Because God is a powerful God who can protect you. Oh, how much we have to be grateful for. We can also be grateful for his purposes. See, this is where the rubber meets the road. Sometimes in life, it's hard to see through the clouds, and we don't necessarily see how God is working. And I'm sure many of you have been in those situations. Now, there's a man in the Bible, and his name was Joseph. And if anyone had reason to complain, it could have been him. You think your siblings were rough on you growing up? Joseph's siblings sold him to a caravan who then went to Egypt, and he was sold as a slave to Potiphar, miles and miles away from his family. He was just in his teen years. His brothers hated him. He had no cell phone, no means of communication. His father was lied to, and so he believed that Joseph had died, but here Joseph was a slave to Potiphar. It says, though, that the hand of God was with him, and again, we see the presence of God. And there came a time when Potiphar actually put Joseph in charge of his whole household. And you think, wow, things finally turned around for the guy. Until he was falsely accused. Potiphar's wife accused him of misconduct, and Potiphar sent him to Pharaoh's dungeon. Not only was he a slave, now he was a prisoner. And yet in this prison, again, God was with him and God elevated him and he ended up being in charge of that prison. Until one day, God gave Pharaoh a dream because God had a plan. Joseph could not see that plan. He did not know Pharaoh would have this dream. But they heard that Joseph could interpret dreams, and so Pharaoh brought Joseph to him, and Joseph interpreted the dream. There was going to be a famine for 7 years in the land of Egypt that would follow a time of plenty. And so Joseph's instruction to Pharaoh was to store up for 7 years that food that would be harvested during the time of plenty, so that they would have food when the famine hit. Joseph was then elevated to second in command of all of Egypt. One day his brothers come, looking for food, and that brother whom they mocked, now they bowed. And God's purposes that he revealed to Joseph way back when in two dreams that he had as a boy now came to fulfillment years later. The brothers were afraid, though, at how Joseph would treat them. And he says this in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. "But as for you, brothers, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people alive." What a great testimony of God's purposes. The Bible says all things work together for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. And you may not be able to see God's purposes in your life, but you can choose to thank him for his purposes. Many people are in great sorrow and difficulty and pain. But listen to this quote by John Phillips. He says this, "In this sad world of sin, tears may scald our eyes, but thoughts of him beaming like sunshine through the rain will make rainbows of our tears." God knows your every tear. But we can be grateful for his purposes because he is a great God. Not only is gratefulness a choice, and not only is our gratefulness in Christ, our gratefulness ought to be constant. Look at what Paul says in verse 4. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Now, I believe it is no accident that these words were penned by a man who was at that time in prison. You see, if Paul was in a palace and penned such wonderful words to rejoice in the Lord always, some might conclude that Paul did not really know or not really mean what he said because he didn't understand. But here Paul understood the importance of gratitude even while he was in prison. You see, the reason why many of us don't give thanks is because we live as victims of our circumstances. You might have had a bad day, stubbed your toe, got to church late, things don't seem to be going right, and you may not feel like giving thanks, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says this, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Do you want to know the will of God for your life? Give thanks. It's not a mystery. God has revealed it to us, and we must got to give thanks in all circumstances. So what circumstances can we give thanks to God in? Well, one, we can praise him in our sorrow. There was a man named Horatio G. Spafford who wrote one of our most famous hymns. And we are all blessed by that hymn that says this, "When peace like a river attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. He heard word that his wife and children were in an accident with a ship, and the ship had sunk, and the wife had messaged him and said, "Saved alone." At that moment, not near his family, he instantly got on a ship to sail to his wife. And when he came to the spot that the ship had sunk, he penned those words, "It is well with my soul." A number of years ago, one of my good friends had died in a car accident. I remember being at the funeral. My friend Stephen's favorite song was 10,000 Reasons. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Now, it's customary for the family at a funeral to remain seated. Stephen's father was a pastor of a church and still is in Swift Current. Place was packed. They stood to sing one of the songs, 10,000 Reasons, one of his favorites. His father took the hand of his wife, and they all stood. In a moment of great sorrow, they could still choose to give thanks because they understood that God's purposes and plans are far greater than ours. Job understood similar circumstances when he said, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. But blessed be the name of the Lord." Not only can we praise him in our sorrow, but we can praise him in our sickness. Paul said this as he struggled with his thorn in his flesh. He said, "God said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" And Paul says, "Therefore, I will then boast about my weakness so that Christ's power may be seen in me." We can praise him in our celebrations. Now, isn't it amazing that we so often forget to thank the Lord when things are good? Don't forget to thank the Lord when he works mightily in your life. I think about the time that those 10 lepers went and were healed, but only one came back to say thank you. You know, sometimes I think we overanalyze this idea of thanksgiving, but really, truly, you can just say simply today, "Thank you, Lord. I'm so grateful for you. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for the victory that you give me. Thank you for my family. Thank you for our provisions." We can praise him in song. I had to put this in here because I love it. I love the fact that I get to sing praises with you as a church. The Bible says this, that we teach one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in our hearts to the Lord. What a great thing it is to be able to sing about our great God. What a blessing it is to come each Sunday to be able to lift up our praises to him. And I want to say this in closing, that our gratefulness is also contagious. You can't help but read Philippians chapter 4 and be blessed. It is filled with praise and thanksgiving and rejoicing because of our great God. If you just turn and look at each other and smile, I mean, the person next to you will probably smile. Now, sometimes I will purposely walk around Walmart with a smile on my face because everyone else looks so gloomy. Now, when this letter was read, it was to the church in Philippi. And they would have read this letter and they would have come to this spot in Philippians chapter 4 where Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." I'm sure there could have been some that day that had said, well, he doesn't really mean that. I mean, how can someone rejoice always? But there was a man who would have been listening to that letter that would have witnessed Paul's praise firsthand. Paul and Silas one day were thrown into prison. And it says this in the book of Acts that at midnight that they were singing hymns and praises to God. God, by a mighty miracle, created a way of escape for Paul and Silas to get out of prison. There was the keeper of the prison, the Philippian jailer. And when finding out that the prisoners would have escaped, he was ready to take his own life when Paul shouted, "No! Don't do it! Still here." This jailer, amazed that Paul and Silas were still in a prison that they did not need to be in, says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And that day, that jailer and his whole household were saved. And I can just imagine that Philippian jailer was here when this was read, and he says, "I know what he says is true because I heard him singing at midnight. You wouldn't believe it. There was no way of escape, and him and his buddy were there singing praises to God." And no doubt when that prison doors were open and the jailer realized that they were still there, that by their previous testimony, the jailer knew that they had something special that he wanted, and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" As we close this morning, I want to say this. You might ask the same question: what must I do to be saved? You might this morning not have any reason to rejoice because you do not know the Lord. Oh, but the Lord Jesus, he died for your sin. His blood was shed on the cross, and he offered forgiveness for all. The Bible says this, that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you are here this morning and you are asking that question, what must I do to be saved? You can simply say this: Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins, and I ask you now, O Jesus, to save me and cleanse me. I believe you died on the cross for me, and I believe that you can save me. And the Lord so graciously will save you, just like he did that Philippian jailer. But there are many of you here today that, if you were honest to admit that you've been complaining or grumbling more than you ought, you might just simply need to say this morning: Lord Jesus, forgive me. I want to be grateful. And the Lord Jesus will help you to do it. The Bible says this: faithful is he who has called you, and he will do it.